Good morning. Good morning. Beautiful day out there. Hopefully you're having a good day. I know we're having a good day here. Kind of open phones for the next hour. If it's on your mind, I want to hear about it. A couple of housekeeping matters. We, of course, will have on Thursday at 10 a.m., gubernatorial candidate Mike Minogue. He's seeking your vote first in the Republican primary, and should he get the Republican nomination in the general election against likely Maura Healey. So that should be very interesting. He'll be here for an hour on Thursday at 10 a.m. to 11. And then after that, he'll be in the region. And then that evening, he'll be at the New Bedford Country Club at 6 p.m. for a free event, all welcome, put on by Tom and Joanne Hodgson, so that all of us who care to can meet Mike Minogue. He's got a very interesting resume. He's a legitimate billionaire, West Point graduate, very attractive candidate. But you'll have an opportunity to meet him by phone, if you'd like, here at 10 a.m. on Thursday. So we've had Brian Shortsleeve, his competitor, in here for an hour. We've had him on the phone a number of times. Same with Mike Keneally. Had him in here for an hour. We've had him on the phone a couple of times. So there's a lot going on. And then on Friday, if you'd like to come out and see us, certainly love to see you at Honeydew Donuts up on Acushan Avenue, up in the North End. It's kind of at the that plaza. You can go down Ashley Boulevard or Acushan Avenue. There's entrances on both sides to get into the Honeydew Plaza. I'll be there broadcasting live on Friday morning. We always have a good time with that. So hopefully you'll be able to come by, say hello, and have some of the great things they have at Honeydew Donuts. I absolutely love Honeydew Donuts. Great sandwiches, obviously great donuts. The drinks are amazing. They've got this Red Bull drink there. You can only get it at Honeydew Donuts. So like a flavored Red Bull, blueberry, raspberry, all kinds of different flavors. That really gets you going. Anyway, 508-996-05. Let's see what people have to say. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Chris McCarthy.
Mike Lima, what's going on?
Finally. I want to talk about two things. I want to talk about the city election.
Sure, go ahead.
And I want to talk about Old Colony Volk.
Please, go for both. Elections.
Let's go with the election. Since the election, I haven't been on your program except for Veterans Day, and that was dedicated to veterans as far as I'm concerned.
Sure.
So the funny thing is I've been getting not disturbing but funny messages on my messenger, Facebook Messenger, from people saying, oh, we ain't heard you. did James Royce shut you up? Dartmouth boy calling me Dartmouth boy. Just funny things. Nobody's telling me they're going to beat me up or anything, so I don't want anybody to think that. But anyway, let's get to the election. Ward 2, we made that prediction.
Yes.
But we also said it was very close, 50-50. It could have went either way. And I think the vote total proved that was a very tight race.
Totally. And it's going to a recount.
Yep. Obviously, wards 1 and 5, I think, were pretty much give-me's.
Yes.
In my book. Now, the councilor at large race. Interesting. I did predict Burgo to go to 3.
You did.
And I said Devin Burns would come in second, but a newcomer came in second, Mr. Roy. And I don't have nothing against Mr. Roy, because a few of those messages were pointed, did Mr. Roy shut you up? And listen, I have nothing against Mr. Roy. I don't know him. I make my predictions based on numbers and years of doing this. And I'd like to go back and forth with you because you're well-versed the same way I am. And we were back in elections when these kids weren't even born.
You're right.
So, right, of course. So when there was big phone banks and there was 10 people in a room calling to ID your vote, so you could push it out the door on election day, not just flood Facebook with ads like they do today. So, listen, Mr. Roy came in second. I did predict, and I, if you can remember correctly, I said the voting people of New Bedford always put a new candidate either in first or second, and they sure did. And I'm going to tip my hat to Barry Sylvia because he predicted that Naomi would win her seat.
Survive.
And survive. Yes, she did.
Mike, I have to tell you, I remember exactly what you said, your theory of the election. Your theory of the election was correct. You predicted that Devin Burns, having run once before, would then rise to the top, because when the people of New Bedford finally give you an opportunity, they really rock at you. It just happened to be, it was Roy and not Burns. Your theory was correct. You had the wrong guy.
Oh, right. And hey, listen, I had Roy coming in fifth at the end the last couple days. So I knew he was going to win a seat, but they put him in second, and beautiful. Let's see what he can do. He's got 2 years to prove himself. And he worked very hard, and we kept on saying that the last 10 days of the election.
Absolutely.
He was working really hard, and he had a good crew behind him. Old Colony Volk.
Yes.
As you are well aware of, I go into area high schools for my job, and I teach people, teach special needs students employment services. I have been going in to Old Colony Volk for the last 5 years, from 2019 to 24. I was in Old Colony Volk twice a week as I say teaching the students, but I'm not a certified teacher. I'm certified in what I do, employment services. And I don't see much wrong with that school. That school's still in good shape. So I'm assuming that they've grown out of it.
I think that's what it was. They wanted to add 3 shops, which I think also complicated their plans.
Right. So there's plenty of space there. Why are you not an addition?
They were going to do a whole new school.
Right. But I'm just saying, why don't they just expand off that one? There's plenty of room out there. There's plenty of room. And the school is still in good shape. I'm going to tell you that I used to be a photographer, professional photographer. My uncle owned the biggest commercial photography business in the New Bedford, greater New Bedford area. And I was up in a Piper Cup taking aerial photos of Old Colony when they were building it.
Really?
Yeah.
1975.
I was going to say 50 years. Yeah, I was about 15, 16 years old. I'm 67, so I'm off a couple years. But, I was up in the air taking photos of that. So I appreciate your time, Chris. I'm you heard me laughing. I think it's funny people are on Messenger, saying that stuff. But, hey, it's all in good fun.
Sure.
I do it because I love it, and I do it because, not to my own on. I think I'm pretty good at making the predictions, and I've been very good in the last few years. And I think New Bedford sent Mr. Burgo a message that...
I do, too. That's what I was going to ask you, buddy. What do you think this means for... Look, I think my opinion today is John Mitchell is running for re-election. That's my opinion. I don't have any inside information, but I think he's running.
I'm going to agree with you 100%. He's running. I know he's putting feelers out there. I can tell you that much. So.
And there's nobody in the field, I believe today, that can beat John Mitchell. That's what I believe. I could be wrong, obviously.
No, I think you're right. I think the problem being there's going to be at least 51% of the people that will vote for John Mitchell.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I'm not saying he's going to overwhelm like he has in previous elections, but I think there's 51% that'll vote for John Mitchell. Because in all honesty, and we've both said it a million times, he doesn't do that bad of a job and he ain't that bad of a guy.
Right.
There's things people don't like about him, but the longer you're the mayor, the more people are going to not like you.
Right.
And to say that he's been there for, what, 14 years? Yeah. I think it's 14. I think he still has 51% of the people behind him. So,
and again, it also depends on who steps up to run against him. I mean, you know, people, it's when it's a binary choice, again, the at-large counselor is not a measure to the degree that some people think it is. Now, where you come in on the at-large can also give you a rationale for running for mayor. But when you go from second place to a distant third, as Burgo did, that does not then mean you're going to be the next mayor. It doesn't at all. In fact, it's quite the opposite.
I think you're 100% right, Chris. Listen, you have a great day.
You too.
I hope to see you Friday. I'm planning on attending.
Great.
I have a doctor's appointment at 8:45 in Providence, a very quick appointment. So I think I'll be back on the road by about 9:15. So hopefully I'll be pulling in there around 10 o'clock, and raising some hell with you.
I'll see you then, Mike Lima. I'll be on Acushnet Avenue, Honeydew Donuts. Honeydew Donuts, Acushnet Avenue, and actually Boulevard, really. Far north end, up by Trukey's, Friday morning. Be broadcasting live from there. Please stop by, say hello, get some of the great food, some of the great drinks at my friend Walter Manee's office, the public, through his Honeydew Donut Shops. Got two of them in New Bedford. I'll be at the Acushnet Avenue one on Friday morning. Look, there is nobody out there today that I think could beat John Mitchell. And funny enough, I mean, I was talking, he doesn't show much, he doesn't. I talk to him off the air, we have really fun conversations off the air. Sometimes you can hear me laughing when we're coming back, and sometimes he'll reference it, or what we were talking about. And I mentioned it, that I didn't think there's anybody he could who's going to beat him. He didn't give one way or the other as to whether he's running or not. I didn't ask him. But my opinion is, and I spend an hour, at least an hour a week with the mayor. I think he's running again. And I also don't see anybody who's actively involved in politics today that's interested in the job, wants to run against John Mitchell, and could beat him. Now, that could change. Right? That could change. John Mitchell has $400,000 last time I checked. Could have changed. But basically, $400,000 without breaking a sweat in the bank, in his campaign account. Tomorrow that could be $1 million if he needed to. If he needed to, give him a couple of weeks, he could get it up to $1 million, in my opinion. The mayor is a competitor. He's been in office a long time. He has a lot of supporters. He does. So, on the money game, there's nobody who's even close to him. Maybe Cabral from the South End. But until they let illegal aliens vote, he doesn't have a prayer of beating the mayor. And just in case they start letting illegal aliens vote, John Mitchell's played some footsies with that crowd too, right? So, who knows? The representative, Tony Cabral from the South End, has, I think, $200,000 in the bank. That's half the amount of money. It's an impressive amount of money, but it's half the money John Mitchell has in the bank. And like I said, if John Mitchell wanted to, if he needed to, he could get that to $1 million in 2 weeks to a month. He could go from 400, in my opinion, from 400,000 to $1 million if he needed to. And he doesn't need to. Shane Burgo is not who people are going to elect to represent them as the city of New Bedford mayor. Come on. Come on. If he doesn't realize that, and I don't think he does, it just shows you how silly he kind of is. And it shows you what an ego he has. Ego's a problem for Shane Burgo. If he doesn't realize that he's not the person that the people of New Bedford want to have represent them. I mean, how do you go from people like John Bullard and Fred Kalis, Rosemary Tanney and Scott Lang to Shane Burgo? I mean, it's clear he doesn't understand cause and effect, right? It's clear he does not understand cause and effect. He's just not a bright guy. And I do not think he presents the figure that you need to represent you if you're going to be taken seriously. You think New Bedford has an image problem now? Just elect Burgo to the mayor's job. Right? Just elect Shane Burgo to the mayor's office. And you'll see what an image problem you really have, city of New Bedford. And by the way, as goes New Bedford, goes the region. So Fairhaven, Dartmouth, Acushnet, Freetown, Westport, pay attention. You got skin in this game too. All right, I see you on hold, but I got to take a break. Good morning, I'm Chris McCarthy. We'll be right back.
This portion of programming on WBSM is brought to you by Dee's Hot Dogs in New Bedford, where you can get two hot dogs, soda, and a bag of chips for only $5.
Back to Chris McCarthy and South Coast Now on WBSM. Call 508-996-0500.
Welcome back to the program. Hey, get that windshield fixed, all right? Get that windshield fixed. It's pretty easy to do. Citywide Glass, they have a mobile tech team. They'll come right out to your house or your work parking lot, and guess what? It won't cost you anything. Won't cost you anything. All insurance is accepted. All glass is covered. Just call Citywide Glass. They're in Dartmouth and Fall River, or go right on their website and book an appointment. Citywideglass.net. They'll send that mobile tech team out to your home or your work parking lot, and they'll fix that windshield. They'll bill your insurance company. It's much safer. It looks a lot better, really. You don't want to drive around with a cracked windshield. It's not safe, not particularly as it gets colder. So get that windshield fixed. Call Citywide Glass or go on their website, citywideglass.net. Kind of open phones. If it's on your mind, I want to hear it. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Good morning, Chris. Gilly Staffield.
Hey, what's happening?
You know, you're mentioning Burgo as mayor and all that, that he ain't capable. But they're also mentioning Brian Gomes for mayor. At least Burgo knows that the post office closes at 5 o'clock, not like Brian where he thinks it closes at 4. That's all I want to say. So don't compare the two, giving the guy a bad name. Bye-bye.
So, Brian Gomes has tried to run for mayor before. I think he's probably still got another campaign in him. That would be an interesting campaign. Again, a lot of people are on the city council, and that's quite an accomplishment, to tell you the truth. And if you do it right, you can get a lot of satisfaction and have a lot of influence. I mean, the city council is an important role, a very important role. Brian Gomes, I think, has done a pretty good job, certainly on matters that need attention. He's great at drawing attention to them. I just think Shane Burgo has certainly grown into the job, but I just do not see him being elected as mayor. It's too important in a role, and dare I say, too large a role for Mr. Burgo. But again, that's what elections are for, right? That's what elections are for. Personally, I think the city council should re-examine the two-year term for the mayor, putting that on the ballot. I think the city council should go back and look at the mayor's recall ordinance to try to tighten up. It's a good government move to be able to eject bad actors from the body politic. That's crucial. That's crucial. The problem is you have a number of people on the city council who are fantasizing that they're going to be the mayor. And they don't want to stand for election every 2 years. They know right off the bat they're going to be a garbage mayor. So they want to have as much power and as much longevity as possible. That's why they want to keep the four-year term. And they don't want to put a recall in. So imagine this today. You could elect somebody mayor of the city of New Bedford. A four-year term might as well be an eternity, and you have no way to get rid of them. John Mitchell has put forward a mechanism by which to do that, and it's been bottled up by the Shane Donistas in that city council. It's outrageous. 508-996-0500. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Good morning, Chris. How are you doing this morning?
Hey, I'm doing great, Tom Kennedy. How are you?
All right. A few questions.
Sure.
The feds just cut the education department and turn the money over to, who was it, the Department of Labor. I'm wondering when the mayor does come on, if you can possibly remember to ask him how that is going to affect the city in terms of the money flow that comes from the state through the federal government for our school department. Second question, the guy that does the statistician, very interesting guy. I'm wondering how deep he can go to determine who the next city council president will be. But I think that's an important thing, and I don't know if his numbers would be able to show that. But it's going to be, I have no idea who it possibly right. could be the next time.
Let me throw some names out there. Let's throw some names out there, Tom. You're an educated guy. You're an informed man. I would say, from what I'm hearing, the Ryan Pereira from the South End, your guy, your city council, I think, I hear that he has, if not secured all the votes, he's certainly secured a majority of the votes.
Wow, that's interesting. Yeah.
But there are, in other words, when people are looking at who's got votes, today, my understanding, Ryan Pereira is certainly in the lead. I don't think he's secured it, but he's, of the people who are counting votes, Ryan's got the most commitments.
Wow, that's interesting because he's the only one that hasn't served, that has the most longevity in there. And that's usually the protocol on how that decision is made with exceptions from time to time. But and as far as my comment on that, it's just real important that whoever it is, make sure that they communicate what the administration has to say to the council. I don't think that's transpired in the last couple of years. I think that's one of the things that saved Naomi Carney. I thought she was a good city council president. I think Joe Lopes was council president, and certainly Ian Abel. The communication was tremendous from the administration to the city council. So that one criteria is what I'd be looking for, and it makes sense that Ryan would be the next person in line. That's interesting.
Yeah,
that's
if you go focus. On that arbitrary, who's been there the longest without it, if that does have a factor, and I hope it doesn't, but I know you're right, you were in that body. I would say that obviously by that Ryan has the criteria, but I would say that Ryan also is a knowledgeable guy, and he's affable. His colleagues seem to like him. And again, I have been fairly impressed with Ryan as an inside operator, even if I don't always agree with what he's doing. He has been a dedicated Shane Donista in bottling up things that Shane didn't want come out. So
yeah. Last two, I was going to be donating my kidney to my sister. I went through Tufts University. I don't know the affiliation with Mass General there. Was there a head surgeon named Dr. Hooper in your situation?
No, unfortunately, because that's a great Burt Reynolds movie. I wish there was a Dr. Hooper. Hooper was a great stuntman played by Burt Reynolds. No, I had different doctors, but I'll look out for a Hooper, though. That'd be great.
And the last one is what's going on there in Fairhaven, you know, with this guy, Rodriguez, was rejected by the people, and he's putting up 16 units, and he's gone forward with it. Does that have something to do with his ability under the 40B chapter regarding the necessity for cities and towns to have enough housing? I don't know what the answer to that is, but so I know that there's a big controversy over there.
Is this the planning board stuff?
I think so.
Yeah. Yeah, so there is a development under 40B. You're talking about the developer went to court and got it because they didn't hear it quick enough?
From what the news was reporting is that the guy started building it even though after the people said they didn't want it, and the people were going, well, how can he do this? And I think it's part of the 40B criteria that's allowing him to do it, but there are a lot of people up in arms over there for those 16 units.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. No, I understand. I agree. I understand. Thanks for the call, Tom. Look, 40B is a controversial law. We dealt with it in Freetown. We actually, at the time I was there, we negotiated it down to we didn't use 40B anymore. We just made it work. I would be surprised that Fairhaven, but I guess we aren't, at the affordable cap. What it means is if you're not at least 10% affordable housing in your community, then someone can do 40B, which allows them to blow out all the local zoning restrictions, except health and welfare. In other words, septic laws, well water laws, things like that. Those still have to be adhered to because, obviously, without being offensive, let me just say, obviously, you cannot have excrement and urine anywhere near a source of water. So that limits what somebody can do. Those codes, the health codes, still stand. Other than that, everything else is gone when someone does a 40B development. And also, people who are trying to develop property, this is often lost on the public. They have rights. Developers have rights. And there's process. They have due process. And if you don't give them the proper process, the courts will make you do it anyway. In other words, there's timelines and all the rest. You'll make you give them the permits to do it. Within reason. So, and there's been a lot of goings on with the planning board. Too much, really, drama with the planning board. A very important position. Elected here in Fairhaven. All right, I'm going to take a break and then we'll be right back. More calls from you, the audience, if you'd like. 508-996-0500. Stick around, we'll be right back. And again, I was promising to play a little bit from the New Bedford Light. I always check out newbedfordlight.org. There's a new change to zoning, potential change the mayor is putting forward to the city council. Stick around. We'll be right back.
South Coast Now with Chris McCarthy. Weekdays on 1420 AM and 99.5 FM. WBSM.
Always having fun here on the program. I'm Chris McCarthy, you're the audience. I want to tell you that Mike Keneally is having a grand opening of his headquarters. This is his state headquarters. He's running for governor. It'll be November 22nd, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. It's a Saturday. It's going to be up in Waltham, 240 Bear Hill Road. He encourages people to bring non-perishable food that they're going to give to their, to donate to the local food pantry there. You can learn more about it at MikeKeneally.com. Mike Keneally, of course, is seeking the Republican nomination. He's been here. So check it out at MikeKeneally.com. I know Waltham's a bit of a ride, but it's not a bad ride, particularly not on a Saturday morning or afternoon. Stop by for coffee and snacks. All right, kind of open phones if it's on your mind. Want to hear about it. Good morning.
Will you give me a round two?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. From what you're saying about the mayor's race,
yes, sir.
With your sources and everything, what you're telling me is that you know that the mayor will run again. Okay,
I believe you're going to have to convince.
Okay, well, that's as good as you know.
Yes.
Okay, now one name has not been mentioned, so you know this too. You know, therefore, that Scott Lang is not going to run, right?
I don't know that.
Okay, all right, but I from your comments, that's what I would.
I said anybody currently active in the political realm, meaning anybody who's on in elected office today.
Okay, but the real election, and you'd get people out for it, would be Mayor Mitchell against former Mayor Scott Lang.
Yes.
That would be the real test, because two of them are intelligent, educated, have two different views of the city, and I think you'd see a lot of people come out for that. We wouldn't have just 18% of the people vote.
I agree with you.
And I don't care, you know, if Mayor Mitchell has a gazillion dollars and Scott Lang doesn't have that. I don't think that would be an issue.
No, Scott could raise the money in a moment's notice.
Yeah, I know. But that would be if you want to get people out, instead of saying vote for what? If I can't change anything, what do I want to vote for? Okay. The other thing I would say, don't let Zoeberg out of it. Okay, whether you think he's qualified or not, he's there. And as I've said before, and
say that again. Who is
he? Zoe Mondani, you know.
Yeah,
like
Zoeberger.
Yeah.
Zoeberger?
I'm not going to go into Berger, but Zoeberger. Okay?
Zoeberger, yeah, Zoeberger.
Yeah, don't knock him out, because he's there, he's around, he's out. And, you know, again, I've said this before, and I'm not saying it disparagingly at all. Okay, it's a large Cape Verdean community.
Certainly.
In this area. And if they get out there and back him, regardless of what his opinions are or there's a possibility.
Oh, what did I do?
I didn't do anything. I'm still there.
All right,
still
go.
There.
Go.
All right. I think there's a good possibility that he could get elected, just like Zoe in New York, you know, that sort of thing. So, again, but the Achilles heel for Mayor Mitchell, and the only one thing I got against him is that the taxes. You know, and if I were to be the person to advise somebody, that's his Achilles heel. You go up every year. There's no mercy. It just keeps on coming. People come on, older people from what I can hear, like me, and basically plead, please, mercy, mercy, mercy. And you might as well play Taxman in the background. One, two, three. I'm the tax man.
Yes.
Is one for you, 19 for me.
Yes.
You know, that sort of stuff. That should be on his players list, okay? So, again, you know, so that's his Achilles heel. And if anybody were to run against him, that's the thing I'd keep on hopping at. Your taxes, look where they've gone. Now he says, well, we don't get state aid. He should have known that the minute he got in. All of a sudden, this past year, it's become an issue. It's gone back to 2008, I think, even before he was a mayor. So, you know, you can't depend upon state aid. You know, just like you guys in Fairhaven, you got to tighten your belt. You got to sharpen your pencil, as you guys do. And you're going to make sure that your vote kids go to New Bedford and not go to Old Colony. Because that way you benefit from that urban money that we get down here in New Bedford from the state.
Thank you for the call, my friend. As always, 508-996-0500. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Good morning, Chris.
Hey, what's happening?
I hope you're well.
Thank you. I am.
And I'm glad to hear your voice.
Thank you, sir.
Every time I turn it on. Gentleman made some good points in about the mayor's race and everything. The you know, the area towns, they voted against new taxes for that school. And yet here in the city, they voted yesterday, and we'll see taxes rise again.
Yes.
And that should have a big effect on any mayor's race coming up, because there's not much has been said today about the tax rate being set. And, you know, again, the city has no economic development to bring in new revenue to, you know, fight off new taxes for the residents. And we've been doing this for 10 years and more. So the city, you know, like the state, with Mara Healy, we need change. We need a new direction, a fresh direction. And the other thing that came up was the place on Pope's Island, the marina. Issues there. Big story in the light about that.
Yes. No, the New Bedford light is worth checking out.
Yeah. It's a, there's just not a lot of good news coming out of New Bedford here. I mean, and we need new leadership and we need a brighter future. We need a new direction. But I'd like to, you know, hear more of what people think about this, the New Bedford tax rate being set and everything too. So,
and we'll talk more about it tomorrow, my friend, because I'll be here all day tomorrow. But yeah, the New Bedford tax rate was set last night. You know what's, I think, was a lost on Shane Burgo? He was on the city council presidency for a year. He could have done an economic development committee of the city council, but he didn't. He didn't. And I think, I'm hoping the next city council president will do that, create an economic development committee of the city council to give them a little more role. In other words, all zoning changes, all that stuff should go through an economic development committee. So the economic development of what they're doing or not doing is taken into account. I think Shane Burgo really missed an opportunity. I know Leo Choquette wants to do that, and hopefully that'll come to fruition. Take a break. We'll be right back. Fern Holtz, stay there.
Even,
yes, sir.
That had zero to do with 40B development.
Okay.
That was never even brought up or mentioned. I can quickly tell you what happened.
Sure.
A developer applied for 16 lots to the Fabian Planning Board. It was ultimately denied by the Planning Board unanimously and Conservation Commission and the Board of Health. Developer appealed it to Superior Court. That judge upheld the Planning Board's denial. Developer appealed to the Appellate Court. They sided with the Planning Board to